Welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hey, and welcome back to Thundercast, ThunderTech's regular podcast. I'm your host, Craig Israel, along with my co-host, Eric Krylo.
Is this thing on?
So we are doing another in our series of trends-related podcasts. Trends, of course, is the annual publication the agency puts out near the end of the year, where we outline a handful of marketing trends that we've been watching over the past 6 to 12 months, give some information that's useful to our clients and marketers, you know, in a wider sense. So today's topic is something that's covered in the trends book, and it's multimedia. Specifically multimedia, different types of multimedia, why you need it, how you build it up. And to help us answer those questions, we have a special guest here in the studio, Matt Stevens, our manager of multimedia services.
Hello.
So for those who don't have the benefit of sitting in the studio with us, Matt is actually playing double duty. He's running the board, being the technical guy and the guest at the same time. It's quite the feat.
They pay me to do everything.
So, Matt, you wrote this article about multimedia, and let me throw out a couple stats from the top of the article that I thought were really interesting. That, you know, multimedia content, no big surprise, makes for more engaged users than just static, you know, content sitting on the page. And you called out specifically that Facebook. People on Facebook consume an average of 100 million hours of video every day. Is that – that's for real? 100 million hours?
According to my sources, yes. And actually, if I remember right, that was actually a slightly old stat, like maybe a year, year and a half ago. I would expect that number is actually quite higher.
Yeah, today. So it's probably like a trillion hours.
Maybe not that much.
Every single day.
Well, and it makes sense if you think about it, because one of the latest things that Facebook is doing is with their Facebook Live. So, right. You know, pushing that really hard. So it proves that folks are consuming this video content.
You know, so what do you think of Facebook Live?
I like the concept of commercial use for it. So, for instance, I like if they were able to take a small camera and put it on, let's say, a basketball player's jersey or inside of a football player's helmet, then I think it's fantastic. I think that seeing through someone else's experience, I think that would be useful. But if it, no offense to you, Craig, but if it's just you in the morning eating your Quaker oats and drinking your black coffee, I'm not all that interested.
I am not digging it, because every time I've been on Facebook and suddenly I get a notice like so-and-so, who I barely know or like, is broadcasting live right now, I don't care. I don't want to see it. It feels very intrusive.
We have John in his basement, itching his head.
Yeah, yeah. Like this guy I barely remember from high school is broadcasting live. I'm sure he's not, you know, winning the Indy 500. All right? Okay. I digress. So the point of the article that you've written, Matt, is about how video isn't just you know, people love it and they want to consume more of it, video and multimedia, but it's actually, from a marketing standpoint, extremely useful. So another stat you mentioned here, that including video content in your promotions can increase conversions by 80%. So that's real numbers.
Right. And I also called out that numerous CEOs have said that video actually has a higher ROI than other types of media, specifically like written media. So it's definitely beneficial to use that within your marketing plan. And sometimes we find that people don't always consider video as their first choice, or they think it's too expensive. And then it ends up being sort of a last minute item that just gets piecemealed in.
Well, that's interesting that, it's obviously more expensive to produce a 2-minute video with actors and props and sets and editing than it is to write a blog post. But you're saying that the ROI on that, you know, the return on investment is actually, despite the higher price tag, it gets you better results.
Right. And more bang for your buck.
Exactly. And what we're, you know, talking about earlier as far as the stats goes, I mean, they're telling us that. They're telling us that these pieces of content are more valuable and more consumed than, you know, just the written blog post. So it makes complete sense to me why these, you know, the executives are moving in that direction.
So part of what we wanted to talk about, and this is also covered in the article, isn't just that video and multimedia is a great thing, that you should do it, that it's worth your investment, but to outline some I guess, tips and tricks on how you can capture a lot of this multimedia content more efficiently so that you can, you know, include more of it into your marketing promotion. So how, Matt, how do we even approach that?
Right. So like I said, a lot of times people are like, I need this video, and we produce it. And it's one video that's produced for X amount of dollars. But what would be a little bit more efficient with your money is to say, all right, over the next year, we're going to need these 4 videos, let's say. So then we can actually plan for that ahead of time and maybe even combine some of the shooting. So while we're at your location, we'll get a little bit more footage for that next video or the one after that, rather than just focusing on the one that's the immediate need.
So that makes a lot of sense. You just capture more footage than you need and then maybe parcel it out over time. I mean, that's kind of best practice anyways, right? That if I know that us, when we go out to a video shoot, we'll capture a lot of B-roll, which is to say just coverage of the environment or people in the environment, something that give our editors more choices when they're putting it together. But you're saying take that to the next level where maybe capture enough content in one trip for 2 or 3 or more videos.
Yeah. But in order to do that, you got to know what that second, third, fourth video are and actually have them planned out ahead of time. So it's not just like, I need 4 videos this year, but this I know I need this one right now, so we're going to focus on this. It'd be smarter to actually kind of plan out all of those, just like you would like an editorial calendar with social media or something like that. Plan it out ahead of time, and then we can try to combine some of those shoots into less shoots so that we're keeping the cost down and being a little bit more efficient with everybody's time.
And glad you mentioned social media, Matt, because a big portion of this too when you're strategizing is determine who else within your company is involved. So not only can they contribute to the planning and the potential execution of the videos, but also how that content can be repurposed. So an example of that would be, you know, the day you shoot 1, 2, 3, or 4 videos, have some staff members there to get some behind the scenes video or behind the scenes photography that you can use on your social channels in prep for that. So just, again, to Matt's point, you know, it's not just shooting a video and being done. It's thinking about how that process can contribute to your brand as a whole.
And it's not just video. We have a client that does regular photo shoots out in these really exotic, interesting environments. And last time they went on the photo shoot, we said, hey, while you're there, can you capture, you know, 20 minutes or so of video footage of you know, your product in action that we can use for future videos? So that's, you know, they increased their bang for the buck with minimal investment, but it paid off big when we could create another video for them down the road without having to redo that whole shoot.
Right, and kind of to bring this all back to trends, and, you know, we're talking a little bit more about tactics and strategy, but, you know, the trend is that we're going to need more video in our marketing strategies and in our marketing plan. So what the point we're trying to get across here is let's plan it out. Let's try to do this a little bit more strategically so we can keep up with that trend of more marketers producing more videos and kind of keeping up with your competition. You know, if your competitor is producing more engaging content than you, they might get more attention than you're getting. So why not be the one to do that first?
And if you're going to do it better. And I think that there aren't any right now, you know, super shining examples out there of someone that's doing it so right that you mimic their every move. So there's absolutely opportunities, I think, for improvement. You know, one of the questions I have as we talk through this, you know, would be, if I'm thinking about doing a video and maybe I don't have the staff or I don't have the budget to do more than a few, what are some things you guys have or would suggest to keep in mind, you know, Matt, you specifically, to keep in mind when approaching, you know, maybe if you only have the budget, like I said, to do just one video, or what are some things that you can share with us about that?
So one technology that we've been eyeing, and it's not really that new, it's been around probably for a few years now, is dynamic video. We have software now that can take elements of a video and replace it. So let's say you had an animated video for your company, and at one point there's, I don't know, let's say a picture of a restaurant. and you wanted to take that same video and modify it for a different vertical in your audience, that's say industrial. Well, we have software that can automatically swap that out. And so say this group of customers is going to get this photo, this group of customers is going to get that photo.
And so this would be pulled from a database or a spreadsheet, something like that.
Exactly. And it's not just photos. We can swap out text. We can swap out voiceover. Just about anything can be dynamic. And you can create you can have the same almost template, but repurpose that in multiple ways. And it's not like it's not the cost of creating, say, 10 videos. It's really the cost of creating one video and maybe a little bit more just for the setup. And then the computer automatically spits out the other 9 of them.
So you're talking about creating one video, pressing a button, pulling from a database, and suddenly you have an infinite amount of videos that are customized to the industry, the vertical, the individual client, whatever we want.
Exactly. That technology is actually getting better. It used to be a little bit more manual. There is a lot of setup that goes into it because it's dynamic content. It's almost like building a dynamic database-driven website in a way as you're setting up that video. But there's actually ways of setting up servers now that will automatically create videos. So an example use of that would be, say you have a customer that goes on your website and they fill out a form, and then in the background that form gets submitted, it pings some computer, some server in a server farm. That computer renders a new video that's tailored to that customer. So it could even have their name in it. It can have different imagery for their industry, and then they get an email automatically that has a link to their personalized video.
So do you think we'll get to the point where using marketing automation or similar platforms that this might happen in real time, that I show up at a website and suddenly there's a video playing that's customized to me?
I'm sure we're moving in that direction. It's not there today, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're there soon.
Well, if Chrome and Google have anything to say about it, that's exactly what it will be. You log into your Gmail account, and there you have a video right there for you. So I'm sure that it's headed in that direction.
You said that in a thanks Obama sort of way. Chrome has any say in it. So talking about interesting technologies, right? Dynamic video is one of them, but something that we recently did a podcast on, but people love talking about is drones, right? That people or customers seem really enamored with drone footage. So what do you think
that is? It's pretty cool. it's really just kind of showing things from a different angle. People aren't used to seeing that type of footage, and we're starting to see more of it, so it will become common. But for the moment, it is kind of a wow factor. Flying through let's say you have a campus and for your business, and you get this fly through video. It's actually pretty amazing the type of footage you can get.
And Matt, you hit it right on the head. As far as I'm concerned, it is that unique perspective that we're not able to have, because we all know that we live in this humongous world made up of all these people and all these things, but we don't really ever get to see that visually, because it's just really about what's in front of our face. So I think a lot of that's psychological too. Just this concept of being able to see a lot of things from a high level makes us feel a little bit better about ourselves, or maybe
psychologically, I think. Part of what this is that we know that previous to drones exploding on the marketplace, that some of these shots you could only get like hanging outside of a helicopter. So there's I believe that there's this implied value in it, that it seems really big time. Like, people who companies that have these sort of sweeping campus shots could afford to rent a helicopter. But I mean, obviously the price point's gone way down. And I don't know. I wonder if the wow factor, the really interesting aspect of this, will soon go away. That people will just get accustomed to it. I mean, any hobbyist can buy a drone now and fly it. Not anywhere, but many places. And that's my guess, is that we'll get used to this footage.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's just like anything else. For a while, and I certainly wasn't around when this happened, but for a while we saw visuals on the picture box but no sound. And then we had sound but no color. And then we had color but no substance. Well, so I think it's that progression. And I absolutely agree with you with the drone. I think the novelty will wear off. So it'll be interesting then to see how people start to leverage drones differently and to provide different views and things. You know, I could think of if you were able to run them through a subway tunnel, for instance. You know, highlight it, like that never happens. Whoever gets to see that view unless you're on a subway itself?
Yeah, and I think some people just think of drones as these really high up shots, but what the more interesting shots are actually the low flying ones where you're just like skimming the top of stuff, which are definitely harder missions to fly, but they're a little bit more interesting. And you might not always think it's a drone, but you know, if it's only flying 5 feet above the air, but it's flying through, an alleyway or whatever it may be. So you could even shots that you maybe would have used a dolly or something before, you can start to use a drone for it, and it might be a little bit more efficient and a little more easy to achieve.
Right, Craig. You noticed since Matt got certified through the FAA,
he's flying missions.
Exactly. I was hoping you'd catch that too.
So we should mention that. We did a previous podcast that you should go and look up to hear everything about the regulations. But, you know, bottom line is that the era of the Wild West for drone operation is over, that the FAA, FCC?
Mm-hmm. FAA.
FAA has locked down drone usage significantly. There's now more laws and penalties in place. So you have to have a certification. You know, Matt has become certified to be a drone pilot, or an SUAS, which is a what's that stand for?
Small unmanned aerial system.
Yes, a pilot. So if you're still flying this around for commercial use, you should really look into the law because you're subject to fines and jail time.
Potentially, and we. You know, we kind of already knew this, but I'm actually in the middle of an FAA podcast – or not podcast – webinar right now. It's very long, and I'm watching it in stages. But, you know, there was kind of a misconception that, oh, you know, I'm a company, and I got this guy that's got a drone, and he's not charging us, but he's going to give us the footage. Well, even though there's no money exchanged, it's for the furtherment of a business, which were the exact words they used, that's still considered commercial use, and you need to have a certified remote pilot in order to do that.
So to sort of put a pin in this, I think the big takeaway here is that people have an insatiable hunger for multimedia, specifically video, and they're looking for that in their entertainment, on Facebook, on websites, on Twitter, on whatever the kids are doing nowadays. And smart marketers are looking into ways to expand that library of content they have. And, you know, may be it through dynamic video or incorporating some drone footage or just being smart about planning out your video shoots and being strategic about it. But this is something that's only going to – well, let me ask. I'm assuming this is something that's only going to accelerate.
I mean, one of the things I mentioned, I think, earlier in the article is that people are becoming more accustomed to watch than read, especially the younger generation coming up. So
reading is for suckers.
So we as marketers need to identify that and kind of adapt our content accordingly.
So I think that's it for multimedia. As we've discussed before, this is one in a series of podcasts that we have around our Trends book. Trends is our annual publication. You can get your hands on that right now if you go to thundertech.com/trends. You can download a PDF and get the ebook, or you can actually request a physical copy that you can take with you wherever you go. As always, if you like what you heard today, please subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever fine podcasts are sold. And if you have a second, leave a review for us on iTunes. It would help us out. And anything else you ever want to know about our podcast, you can go to thundertech.com/podcast, peruse our extensive library of previous podcasts, including the drone podcast that we mentioned, and get your learning on. All right. Thanks for listening.